Our listening to God continues now with our gospel lesson this morning. It's taken from Luke, the 21st chapter. As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow who put in two very small copper coins. "Truly, I tell you," Jesus said, "this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, she put in all she had to live on." Some of the disciples were remarking how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left upon another one. Every stone will be thrown down." Here ends the reading of God's word. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for bringing us now to attend to your Spirit, as your Spirit speaks to us through the words that have been read, and the words that will be said, and the time that will be experienced. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for being here today. You know, as I try to learn people's names, you're not making it very easy. And thank you for that, because a few weeks back, we talked about how we can grow kind of familiar when we look in one place, one seat, one point of view, and that we can't know what Cold Spring Presbyterian Church's mission is in the world unless we can see Cold Spring Presbyterian Church from the world's point of view. You don't have a point of view if you don't have another person to compare your point of view to. To have a point means you have to be in conversation with someone else. And today, there are a couple people who are not seated in their assigned seats. And I think there's a turbulence in the force. I think there's trouble going on. So I want to thank you again for that. I'm glad we have balcony sitters today. I'm glad we have people that have decided to change their point of view a little bit. And I want you to offer feedback from that occasionally. Like, "Gosh, you know, I never noticed that we had the preacher talking up there. The pillar's been in my way. I thought it was a recording," you know, or whatever. And so I appreciate that. And if you happen to sit in someone else's seat and they don't want you to, well, don't have a fight here in church, okay? But if they're willing to kind of shift with you, maybe you can do some swapping, like international student exchanges. You know, let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. So thank you for that. J.R.R. Tolkien, in a short story, told about an artist named Nigel. And Nigel the artist was a wonderful and famous painter. And he had a vision. He had a vision of this great, beautiful tree planted in a garden. And this tree was absolutely stunning. Every detail, every leaf just captivated Nigel's attention. And so, early in his career, with this great vision before him, he began to draw the tree. But as the story goes, he was so overwhelmed with the sheer magnificent beauty of his vision that at the end of his life, he had only painted one leaf. And so when he went to heaven and he was up there, he realized that the tree that he had seen in his vision is what stood before him in heaven. And his vision came to life in heaven. The question this morning could be, what vision has God given you to paint? What building has God given you to build? What garden has God given you to plant? What gift or talent has God blessed you with that you could bless someone else by its fruit? I wonder how frustrated sometimes we get when we have this vision in our head of what could be. And then other kinds of things kind of set us back. Obstacles naturally emerge. There could even be intentional obstacles. There could be traps and unforeseen hazards ahead. I don't know what the problem artist Nigel had as he was painting this great tree. But let us not become overwhelmed with the vision, but simply ask, how can we bring as much as we can of God's vision to life? You know, King Herod had a vision. Remember King Herod? King Herod is the dude that was around even when Jesus was just a little baby, right? And so we see the same King Herod sort of as a backdrop, sort of a political landscape behind the entire life of Jesus. And King Herod had a vision. Now, there has always been a temple in Jerusalem, but King Herod had a better vision. King Herod had a vision that he would build a better temple. He would build a more magnificent temple. He would build the temple that temples out every other possible temple around the world. And so King Herod started building. There's a small picture in your bulletin, but this is sort of a model of what King Herod's temple looked like. Just look at that thing. This thing is just overpowers the skyline. If this were a leaf, Nigel's leaf or tree in his vision, this would be the whole tree. This is the whole deal. And King Herod was very, very, very proud of this temple that he bought. Now, King Herod, he was not Jewish, and so he was building this in Jerusalem so that he could win favor with the religious leaders of the time. And naturally, King Herod was interested in doing the very, very best job he could. If you know a builder, and I know there are lots of builders in this room, and there's lots of families of builders in this room, I know that they take great care. You know, Beth, the only thing I know about building is this. Measure twice. What's the rest of it? Cut once. There you go. That's about all I know. But my iPhone helps me actually level things, which is very, very cool. But that measure twice, cut once is a really, really good thing. Well, King Herod certainly knew how to do that. And King Herod, as he began his great task, he was interested in building something that frankly honored him and courted favor with the people of the land that he was ruler of, for Rome. When our Jewish families back then, when they went to temple, they would receive an offering like we do. They did not do two offerings, by the way. I just wanted to point that out. Yeah, we have an offering that we do early. For those that don't know, we have an offering for our deacons so that they can distribute this money to people in need, special projects, other mission in our community. So we receive that offering first. Then our second offering is sort of a more traditional church offering that just goes to the mission of the church, the greater mission of the church. Well, our Jewish friends, when they would go to temple in Jesus' day, the offering plate, if you will, was a huge container, and it was put outside the temple gates. They never received money inside the church. They would always receive it just outside the door there. And so you can see then in our story about Jesus why they found this person who was not able to walk, why he was there in the first place. See, he was where the money was. And his friends put him just outside the temple gates so that he might be able to receive some gift from those who were coming to see him. It says, but this passage of this fellow who was sitting here, the disciples, as they walked by, they noticed everybody putting their gifts into the temple treasury, and they saw the poor widow, this poor widow who was there put in two copper coins, very, very little. But Jesus' comment about that was, this widow has put in more than all the rest. Well, what is it that she put more of? She didn't have more money to put in. So he obviously wasn't using money as the metric to understand the size of the gift. This woman that was there who put in her copper coins gave something else. It wasn't just money. What do you think it was? Any ideas? What did she give there? She gave more than all the other people. What do you think it was? Anybody? No wrong answers. Just try it. Bob? What's that? her heart. She gave her heart. She gave her love. Yes. She cared. She cared about giving back to God, returning on the investment. And apparently God had been pretty good to her because she thought God had blessed her so much that she returned everything she had. But the curious thing about this passage is, at least it's curious to me, let's see if it is for you, that right after Jesus says, but she put out of her poverty all that she had to live on. Next sentence. So the disciples were remarking how the temple was adorned with beautiful gifts and stone, or beautiful stones based on the gifts dedicated to God. The disciples didn't remark at all what Jesus had said. Look at this woman. Remember her. She has given more than all the other people that have walked by this place going inside the temple. Wow, what a great building. This is just awesome. Wow, Jesus, look at this place. This place is like, oh boy, King Herod, what a guy. I mean, can he build or what? I mean, King Herod is just totally amazing. Don't you think that's like a little strange? Let me just replay it again. A woman outside the temple takes all she has, places it in the offering plate just outside the doors, like everyone else. Jesus says, hey, guys, just remember this. This woman has given all that she has, and it's more than all the other gifts combined. Wow, did you see the beauty in this building? This is just too much. You know, a lot of times as we experience God in the world, sometimes what others are doing kind of escapes us, goes right over our head. And other times, that experience of something just going right over our head, we just miss it. We're just not bad things, just we just don't notice it. We're not in a state of readiness to understand what's really going on around us. Perhaps this woman had been there every single Sabbath. I mean, that's possible. We don't have the whole story here, right? We have a little snippet in God's Word. Maybe this woman was so familiar to the disciples that they saw her all the time. And they may not have noticed. I mean, who pays attention to what goes into offering plates? You know, but they noticed two coins. One of them might have said, I didn't know she only gave two coins. Wow, that's pretty unique. Or, wow, what a generous lady. That all she had? Really, no kidding. Right over their head. What has God given us to give back? What is it as we walk into, say, a worshiping setting like this? Or as we walk into another place, wherever it is we are, and we have gifts. We have gifts to bring. And each person brings out of their out of God's abundance given to them. It's all proportional. And yet God, I think, expects all that we have. All that we have. And lives can be transformed. So remember that King Herod, remember when he built the temple, Jesus was a baby infant. And by the time Jesus was 30-some years of age, he's walking around this same temple. And yet, it's not the temple that's the focus of the story. It's the widow who gives everything she has that's more than all the rest. When we zoom ahead a few years, Jesus has now died on the cross, been buried, risen again from the dead, ascended, and sent the disciples, the apostles, out. And now we find the story near the temple when Peter or John are going to the temple at 3 p.m. A man who had been lame from birth was carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. The temple had so many gates, each of them had a nickname. And this is the Beautiful Gate. And he was put there every day to beg. Now this time, remember Peter as a disciple was there with Jesus when he saw the widow put in all she had, which was more than all the rest combined. The same Peter was there now years later at the same temple, noticing not a poor widow, but instead noticing a person who had some mobility challenges, could not walk. And this time, the person asked him for money, and Peter looked straight at him as he did John. I wonder if they remembered that poor widow. I wonder if they remembered years before They did not this time remark at the beauty of the building. Instead, Peter says, look, over here, capturing the person's attention. The person expected to receive something from him. Why else would a person there in that setting, what else are they expecting other than money? They weren't able to work for a living. They were immobile. They needed help to get there. And so Jesus, or rather Peter and John, go over and they say, silver and gold I do not have. But what I have, I will give you. I think Peter and John learned the lesson from that poor widow. Whatever they had, they gave. Now, had he had some coins, he may have, in fact, offered some money too. Who knows? Offering money to someone in need is an act of generosity. It's an act of kindness. It's an act of compassion. But in this case, he had no money to give. Silver and gold, out of it today. But wait, there's more. What I have, I will give you. And so he took him by the right hand and said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And he helped him up. Instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped up to his feet and he began to walk and went with them into the temple courts. Now, if you had been immobile and waited there, perhaps taken there every single week, just hoping to get some money to last you through the week, you would have thought that as soon as you got your legs back, you'd just be scurrying off home. Remember the Samaritan who came to give thanks, but the other nine lepers received their healing and just went off? Well, this man did not just run off. This man went back into the temple to praise God for the gift that he had been given. He wanted money. But he got his worth back. He got his livelihood back. He got his self-esteem back. He got the ability to work for himself back. Now he can go out and earn a living. And so into the temple they went. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, which was the first sign that something has really happened, they said, hey, wait a minute. That guy over there who's walking around praising God, wasn't that the one that was just outside, we just passed, asking for money on the way in? Well, yes, it was. They saw the same man begging at the temple called temple gate called Beautiful, and they too were filled with wonder and awe. As God begins this work of transformation, things don't grow in a garden overnight. Things don't happen quickly. What was left when the temple was torn down? Why, the mission of the people was left. What kind of mission are we building? The mission that we are building includes buildings and grounds and a lovely cemetery. It includes all the assets of this congregation. But what will really last are how the gifts that I'm looking at right now are invested in the lives of our families, in our communities and neighborhoods, in our places of work, in our schools. What kind of building are we building? What will endure? What will last? We all, each one, have a vision for what Cold Spring Presbyterian Church can be. Together, we will build this vision. And I hope, unlike Niggle, we will not only see a leaf that comes to life, but many, many, many leaves on God's tree of life that we are helping to build today. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you that Peter and John learned a lesson from the woman by the temple gates and learned that whatever they have is to be given. Thank you that you blessed us, each one, just so uniquely. Some have been blessed with many different kinds of gifts. They come from our experiences. They come from our families, things that we have learned. They come from our spiritual experiences. And so whatever these gifts and talents and abilities, even building buildings, whatever these gifts are, we just appreciate being reminded today to be grateful for them and that we might offer them, because these gifts may be more than all the rest combined. Amen.